Burns and Gambo. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Suns Front Office Show, presented by National Bank of Arizona, the only bank you need, and brought to you by Coors Light. This season, we climb, proud partner of the Phoenix Suns.
We were scheduled to have James Jones on the show yesterday. We had to move a few things around, so our James Jones interview, Thursday at 3 o'clock, typically Wednesdays at 3 o'clock, as he joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. James, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Sorry about the loss last night. It was the end of a very nice little stretch for you guys.
It was not bad news for the Jazz.
No, it was not bad news for the Jazz last night. It looked like, did DeAndre Ayton, what do you think were the core of his struggles? What were they yesterday?
I mean, well, you know, it was evidently a tough night for DeAndre, and I know he was disappointed last night with his performance, but he'll learn from it. You know, Rudy's the best defensive center in the league, and, you know, DeAndre has had some struggles against some of the premier centers, but he normally goes back, dissects what he's done wrong, and comes back and has a better performance after that. But I think Rudy's size, I think his agility, his quickness, just his presence, kind of stifled him a little bit last night.
Is it coaching? I mean, because you don't want to see a guy get defeated mentally. Like, it seemed like he got defeated mentally last night and was just out of rhythm and just couldn't figure out what to do, didn't have any answers. Is that just experience? Is it just more coaching? What could help him the next time he goes up against somebody that has an edge on him like that?
Well, it's experience. You know, I mean, it's a constant growth process for him. He's still a rookie. I mean, he's going to have his good nights, his bad nights, but it's been great to see him grow in the recent weeks and bounce back from performances like last night. I know our coaches in game, you know, are trying to give him a couple pointers, some things that he can point to try to get his rhythm back, but it was just a tough night. The other guys had it going, and he didn't. So, you know, he'll get better from here, but it's definitely a performance that he'll look back on and try to dissect and get better from.
Last night, notwithstanding, you guys been playing arguably your best stretch of basketball all year before last night, five of your last seven with wins over Milwaukee and Golden State. For you, what was the key? What was the part of it that allowed all of that to happen with this roster?
Defensively, I think that we really locked in and we found a rotation. We found a group of guys, especially at end of games, that group with Devin, Mikal, Tyler, you know, Kelly, DeAndre, they've been really, really good for us in the stretch. And in previous weeks and previous games, you'd see us in the second half kind of crumble. But I think those guys have developed a group grit where, you know, they feel like they can stop their opponents. And when Devin's scoring the ball, it makes it tough for teams to really lock down and key in on them. So, I mean, they just developed some great chemistry, and I think it's something to build on going forward.
I did not. And I was very adamant about this. I did not want to see this organization trade away good assets for an average point guard. You didn't do that. You made a trade. You didn't give up anything, really, to get Tyler Johnson. And he's a combo guard, not a true point guard. We had him on the show the other day. Completely blown away. Very impressed. His basketball IQ, well-spoken, intelligent, good guy, happy to be here. I think he's been a steadying hand. The game against Golden State, for instance, Devin carried the ball up the court two times in a row. We turned it over. You guys put the ball back in Tyler's hands. He settled everything down. He can run the point. I mean, he may not be the perfect point guard for your future, but I think he's done a lot to help this team turn the corner right now.
I mean, Tyler's been great for us on and off the floor. He's been a leader in the locker room, and more importantly, he's been a leader on the floor in key moments. And when we acquired Tyler, we knew that his role would be primary ball handler. You know, everyone wants to talk about what that ideal point guard is. I think what he does for us is ideally what a point guard should do: make plays for his teammates, make shots when we need him to, and alleviate the pressure from Devin. And when you have playmakers like DeAndre, he doesn't need guys to feed him all the time and set the table. He can make plays for himself. So I think he's been doing a tremendous job for us, and the additions that we'll continue to make will be guys that can facilitate and fill a role, multiple roles, scoring, shooting, passing, defending, and bring us, I know, that the defensive identity, which has been the key to our recent string of victories.
Yeah, James Jones, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You mentioned the lineup that kind of finished out that game against Golden State, and I think that's kind of the thing that stood out to me. Those five playing very well together as a unit. How does that impact the rest of the roster in terms of sticking with those guys, seeing those guys get a lot of minutes down the stretch, maybe at the expense of some of Josh's minutes or some of the other guys' minutes? How is that going to play out the rest of the season, do you think?
I just think the productivity will determine that. If guys have it going, they'll play. If they don't, I'm pretty sure Coach will find lineups and a group that can go out there and give us a chance to win. It's not set in stone. I think that's what's been refreshing about our recent success is it's been organic. Our guys have taken the opportunities that have been afforded to them, and they've capitalized and they've made plays. And they can, if they continue to do that, they'll earn the right to close games. And if they don't, I'm pretty sure the next man will step up.
Let's talk about you've got one of the top picks in the draft. How is the scouting going right now? I mean, we're seeing you guys out there looking at a lot of the players, but how busy have you guys been these last week or two?
I mean, we've been active over the recent months. We've been all over all of the conference tournaments this week, and we'll continue to evaluate players after Selection Sunday and throughout the NCAA tournament. But, you know, we're excited. You know, this is the best time in college basketball. You get a chance to see a lot of these top prospects and some of the guys that fall under the radar. You get a chance to see them for three or four nights in a row in adverse conditions against the best that their conferences have to offer. So we're excited about the draft and some of the players that are in it.
James Jones, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. TJ Warren, from what I understand on social media, has been ruled out again for tomorrow's game against the Houston Rockets. Is there a point of no return when it comes to putting him back on the floor, making it worth it to put him back on the floor? Or even if it's for three games, four games, is there something to still work towards trying to get him back this year?
Of course. You know, TJ's continuing to rehab and he's day-to-day, but I think our guys who are currently playing, they're competing. You know, they're going out there every day and they're trying to earn minutes. And as soon as TJ's healthy, you know, we'll get him back out there. If it's two games, if it's one game, this collective group, they're all determined to get on the floor when they're healthy and to contribute and try to build a winning environment. So, we won't shut anything down until the season's over.
All right, James, we appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping by for a few minutes. Best of luck against Houston tomorrow. We will talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Now, James Jones joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Suns lose to the Utah Jazz last night. And they've got the Houston Rockets coming up on. The TJ Warren question, though, man, I tell you, that's one of those where I do wonder. There is a point of diminishing returns with him. Four games left in the season, five games left in the season. There's no reason to bring him back at that point.
No, other than just trying to show people that he's healthy. You know, hey, he's healthy if you want to trade for him. You know, he's healthy. Look, he can play, but he's going to be out of shape. He's not going to be in basketball shape. He's not going to be able to give you very much.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? If you subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android, you'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by Auto Nation Chevy. A new wide receiver's name is now being linked to the Arizona Cardinals. Does he fit into what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do here in Arizona? We'll give you the latest info as we know it next on the Burns and Gambo show. Last 5 minutes of that interview with James Jones, man, my Twitter feed was going nuts. People tweeting me, Burns, you see this? You see this? You
I
see
told
this?
You, if they get a wide receiver, you're not going to be happy with the guy.
According to Field
you're
Yates.
You're not going
to
be excited.
Of ESPN, former Bears wide receiver Kevin White visited the Arizona Cardinals today. Let me tell you the story about Kevin White.
Yeah, he's been in the league and he's never played.
Kevin White, yeah, well, that's the Cliff Notes version. Basically, Kevin White, if he weren't playing football, he would be like a how-to manual for aspiring sports med doctors, right? Because he's had every injury known to mankind. He barely plays. He was, as a rookie, he was participating in the Bears offseason program back in 2015 after being the seventh overall pick in the draft. A minor injury to his shin held him out of training camp in the preseason opener. Shortly after that, they announced he had a stress fracture in his shin while participating in OTAs that would require surgery. He then had a steel rod inserted into his left tibia, was placed on the PUP list, and didn't play a single game during his rookie year. Played four games his second year, fractured the fibula in his left leg, the same leg that he had injured the year before. Then as a starter in 2017, he fractured his left shoulder blade in a game against the Atlanta Falcons in the season opener. 2 catches, 6 yards, IR, third straight year, September 17.
3 years in the league, 14 total games in 3 years. So he averages less than 5 games a year. He has no touchdowns, 285 total yards. But he's big. He's not a slot guy. He's a 6'3 guy. I mean, it would be a high upside, you know, low risk. You're not going to sign him for any money if you sign him. I'm trying to find out if they're going to sign him. But this is what I've been telling you. Like, they're not enamored with the right. They're not going to get anybody you like. They're going to sign a wide receiver, and you're going to be like, ugh, really? That's the best. They're not going to get anybody. This class, they don't like the class. You're bringing in a guy, and you'd rather almost take a chance on him, who was the 7th overall pick in the draft, that, my God, if he gets healthy, maybe the guy could be good, than take a chance on these below-average guys that you already know what they are. You already know what they
are. You know what?
They're not any good.
I'm going to say this as you might be onto something when you say that. That if you
take a shot,
that you might as well, because I mean, look, right now the options are Jordy Nelson. Oh, he's going to get hurt, and he plays in the slot half the time anyway. Philip Dorsett, he's in New England now. Dante Moncrief signed with the Steelers. Not that he was on the list. Tavon Austin re-signed with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the options are running so thin that in some ways I'd be curious. I don't know if it lasts very long. But I would be curious to see what a guy who used to be the 7th pick overall in the draft and who's got speed and who's got size, what a guy like that could do if given another shot. It's just impossible to count on.
Here's what you know. In 2014, playing for West Virginia, he had 109 catches for 1,447 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Sure, he was a baller in college.
He killed it in 2014.
There was a reason why he was a top 7 pick. Man, he's a baller.
Killed it. Now, all these injuries, what does that take it away from him? You know, I mean, he's 26 years old, so it's not like he's old, but that injury history is, do you take a chance on a guy like this, who at one time was the top wide receiver in college football, one of the top wide receivers, hoping that he can get healthy, or do you go sign one of these no-name average guys who's going to get you 40 catches for 485 yards and 2 touchdowns, because that's all he can do? I mean, maybe it's better to roll the dice that you could get the guy healthy, and then he could finally, you know, show what he's capable of. Now, he may never get healthy. That's what I'm saying. Like, kind of warning people all along. They're not going to get a wide receiver you're going to like.
Yeah.
They're just not going to sign anybody you're going to like.
In the meantime, so we'll keep our eye on that. Again, the Field Yates tweet from ESPN, and Gambo's working and doing what he's doing to find out if the Cardinals are going to sign Kevin White. But Field Yates is reporting that Kevin White did visit the Arizona Cardinals today. We talked about this a lot yesterday. This Josh Rosen, this concept of him getting traded to the New York Giants, seemingly overnight picked up a lot of, not a lot of steam, some steam. I don't want to oversell it. Some steam. Dan Graziano reported on Wednesday the Giants are interested indeed in Josh Rosen to be Eli Manning's successor in New York. The trick with that is, and this is something we talked a lot about yesterday, Dan Graziano is also reporting the Giants are not expected to move on from Eli Manning this year, despite the fact they have the opportunity to do so by declining a $5 million option or a bonus on him this weekend.
Look, it doesn't matter. Like if you're the Giants, you're committed to Eli for one more year. I don't know that it matters if you get Rosen or Haskins that much. Just the interesting point is that if you get Rosen, you're going to have him sit the second year unless Eli gets hurt, and now you're 2 years into his contract. And he played last year 13 games. But you might look at him, and all indications are that the Giants really liked Josh Rosen in the draft. And if they can get him and not have to give up their first-round pick, it just makes sense to any Giant fan out there. You have no idea what you're going to get in these rookie quarterbacks, and Rosen might be better than these rookie quarterbacks. He might be better than them, and you could get him for cheaper. You could get him for only your second-round pick, probably, instead of giving up your first-round pick. So it does, it adds up. It's just the question is now, are the Cardinals willing to trade Josh Rosen? And we don't know that right now.
And I think the Giants are kind of waiting to see that, too. Graziano was on Bickley and Murata today and was asked if he thought the Giants could trade a first-rounder for Josh Rosen.
In terms of Rosen, My understanding is, first of all, they don't know if he's available yet. I don't think the Cardinals are that far down the road on this with anybody specifically to where they would know. But people in that organization, the Giants, have said that they definitely had a first-round grade on Rosen last year when they were obviously they were looking at quarterbacks last year. You know, I don't get the sense they're all the way sold on him as long-term face of the franchise guy, but I think as part of their evaluation this offseason, they would assess, you know, they would assess that again, and obviously it would come down to price.
And I loved what Graziano said, same interview. I don't have the cut, but I'll just read it to you here. He was asked a question by the guys how he thought the Cardinals were doing so far.
Okay.
And his answer was, I think they're doing great. This is exactly what I would want if I had the first pick. I would want everyone to be convinced I was doing 9 different things. It's awesome. Create confusion. Just leave everybody completely guessing as to what your intentions are. What are they going to do? Are they going to
draft Bosa?
Are they going to draft Bosa? Are they going to draft Quinn Williams? Are they going to draft Kyler Murray?
Trade.
Are they going to trade Josh Rosen? Are they going to trade down? What you just convince the world that every chaotic outcome is possible and just leave everybody guessing as a way. It might be annoying after a while because we all want to know what their intentions are.
You're not going with the Kevin Spacey line right there?
But I'd kind of overused it the last couple of weeks. I thought I'd give it a rest.
You've been on vacation.
I know. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Yeah, I know.
Greatest trick the Cardinals ever played. It was convincing the world that they wanted Kyler Murray.
And
I talked to a player today who said he's convinced they're taking Murray. 100%. 100% said they're taking Murray. I had a player tell me this. Just thinks they're taking Murray based on everything that they're hearing. They're going to take Murray.
Great. It's all part of the scheme. And look, from the Giants' perspective, I was thinking about this today. They probably have to pick up that bonus on Eli Manning, because if they don't know right now whether Josh Rosen is available, they can't act as if he will be, right? They can't, we assume we're going to be able to get Josh Rosen in a few weeks. You don't know that. And unless you know that, you kind of have to pick up Eli's $5 million roster bonus or whatever it is to keep him around another year, because Josh Rosen might not be available. He might not be on the trade market at all, depending on what the Cardinals
do. Well, here's the other thing. If you're the Cardinals and the Giants are interested in Rosen, I mean, they could tell you right now what they're willing to offer, but you can't commit to anything because you don't know if you'll get a better offer. What if the Giants say, we'll give you our second round pick? It's the 6th overall pick in the 2nd round for Josh Rosen. Okay, were you willing to make that deal? No, not right now. The draft's not for like 6 more weeks.
Right.
But we need to know because we got to decide what we're going to do. I can't give you an answer that I'm going to trade, because what if somebody offers me, what if New England comes up and offers me their first round pick, or New Orleans offers me their first round pick? Or what if somebody, like, so you can't commit to making a trade with the Giants this early because there's the possibility that you might be able to get a better offer from somebody else. You don't know. You need the time.
Steve Keim is completely rebuilding his offensive line. So with so many new pieces, what do the Cardinals really have at the end of the day? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, there you go. We were talking about in the last segment of the show when we were first notified that from Field Yates that Kevin White, the former Bears first-round wide receiver, was having a workout with the Cardinals. Ian Rappaport reporting that he is expected to sign with the Cardinals, visiting with the team today. In the words of Ian Rappaport, quote, he visited the team today and will restart his career.
Some people are saying restarted. When did it ever start?
Really didn't.
Because he's just had, he's just been injured. I mean, the guy's just been injured. It's a long, listen, I don't mind taking a shot on a guy like this rather than, you know, in my opinion, just getting a guy that you know isn't that good. This guy at West Virginia in his final year was a 100 catch guy with 1,400 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns. He was great. He's fast, but 2 different broken legs, a broken shoulder blade. 5 games in 3 years. 5 games in 3 years. He conditions well. He's got potential. He was a former first round pick, number 7 overall. But this is a
lottery ticket.
It's a lottery ticket. That's a good point.
It's a coin in a slot machine, and it's the pull of the handle. That's what this is. There's no other way to look at it. This is like walking into a casino, and you've got a coin in your pocket, and you put it in the slot, and you pull the handle, and you hope you're going to win some money.
He doesn't have 1 touchdown catch in the National Football League. Nope. Not 1 touchdown catch. He's got a total of like 21 receptions. I mean, he's just not a, you know, it's, again, you go back, you look at him at West Virginia, you're looking at a guy who's, you know, the guy was a good football player in college.
He was a great football
great
player.
Great football
in college.
Player.
He was a
fast
great
and dominant, and, but two broken legs. I mean, you got to wonder how much that's done to him. We'll see. I mean, again, it's a lottery ticket. You're right. You're putting a coin in a machine, see what happens. It's just there's not a lot out there from a wide receiver perspective, so you're better off, I think, better off taking a chance on a guy who, you know, maybe if somehow he can get healthy, maybe he can get his career
and,
going.
And look, I'm going to keep circling back to something that you said, and as painful as it might be, it is the truth, okay? And the truth is that, by and large, we were not really going to be happy with what the Cardinals did at wide receiver, no matter what. Because if you just start looking at the names, you know what? And I say that, Golden Tate might have made a few people happy. Okay, because he's a name.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Jordy Nelson might have made a few people happy because he's a name. And who knows? He might end up here anyway. I have no idea how that's going to turn out. There are a couple of guys out there with name recognition. Terrell Williams would have made people happy.
He got paid, though.
When he got paid. He got paid a lot of money, and the Cardinals had to allocate those resources to other areas. Chances were really good. We were never going to be that happy unless it was Golden Tate. He was the one name out there that I think would have moved the meter. So the Cardinals by no means can check the box at wide receiver. I still think in free agency, they still have to go add somebody else on the cheap at the position to fill out the room, to give them depth and options and competition and things like that.
You might want to sign three guys and just say, look, you're in competition for one job.
Sure.
You know, you guys are all in competition for one job. The Bears declined his fifth-year option, obviously because of the injury history. He just hasn't been able to play. Shoulder injury, leg injuries. You know, best moment of his career was October of this past year when he caught a 54-yard Hail Mary pass from Trubisky. Time expired, but he got stopped one yard short of the goal line, and they lost 38-31 to the Patriots. Got a couple brothers that play in the NFL, one on the Chargers, one on the Steelers. Great player in college, but that's you're going to go back to 2014, the last time he did anything. 2014, so 5 years ago, the last time he was, you know, a player that gave you something.
So here you go. If we're going to add Kevin White's name to the list, your addition so far in 2019 for the Arizona Cardinals, Terrell Suggs, Robert Alford, Brooks Reed, Tanner Vallejo, Charles Clay, Marcus Gilbert, Jordan Hicks, J.R. Sweezy, Brett Hundley, Max Garcia, and Kevin White. Though there are lots of little things in there to look at and say, this is a trend, that's a trend, but you certainly cannot ignore the amount of bodies that Steve Keim is trying to throw at his offensive line. And Max Garcia was the latest name to be added to that today.
He took a blowtorch to this roster. I mean, he literally took a blowtorch to it. You mentioned the guys that are there. Now you lost Iupati today. He went to Seattle. No Josh Bynes, Antoine Bethea, Mike Glennon, Jermaine Gresham, Deon Buchanan, Ode Abushi, and then Mike Iupati. I mean, it is it's a complete roster overhaul. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's a complete roster overhaul. Getting rid of the team that went 3-13 and fired the coach and fired the coaching staff and now firing a lot of the players, bringing in a lot of new players.
I was just counting the players. 12 out of a 53-man roster is almost
20%,
a quarter of the team.
25%?
It's somewhere between 20 and 25% of the team. Almost a quarter that you've completely overhauled from a year ago.
And you haven't even drafted yet.
Right, and you haven't even drafted
yet. You haven't even drafted. You're going to add 8 players in the draft.
Yeah, and I'm
what'd you say? There was 12?
12.
Okay, now there's that. Now you're at 20. What's 20 out of 53? It's
a third.
A
little, a little over the third. Yeah,
more than
a little over a third of your roster.
40% of your roster.
The offensive line is a big focal point, obviously, as it should have been for the Cardinals. Brock Huard today on Bickley and Marotta. Wanted to focus in particular on J.R. Sweezy and his addition.
This is by far the biggest loss in my mind for the Seahawks. Like, Earl was going to go, Hundley was going to go, all of them are going to go. The Nickelback's going to go, Coleman.
Yeah.
This one stinks. You know, of those of us that are around this team and cover this team, this is the loss that stings. It breaks up the continuity on the Seahawks O-line. You will love him. He's as tough as they come. He moves people. Now, he's a little bit light. You know, so he's going to fight injury because he's constantly fighting to keep weight on. But you guys will love J.R. Sweezy, and I think it's the most significant loss for the Seahawks right now. And that's even same with Earl Thomas.
I like Brock. He's
I talked to him. Sweezy was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I talked to him that morning when I got wind that Sweezy was a guy that they were considering. And I said, hey, don't say anything because it's, you know, I want to pick your brain. Tell me about Sweezy. He goes, they don't want to lose him. Played with a broken foot last year. Said he's normally about 280, but he's got to play a little bit up in weight because, you know, he doesn't carry 295 normally. So he's got to play up in weight. But he goes, he's a people mover. He moves people on the line of scrimmage. He pulls. He's great, great like that. So he gave me a lot of good reviews on him when I spoke to him on Tuesday morning. Brock did about Sweezy.
Max Garcia coming off an ACL injury a year ago, 27 years old. He obviously played under Sean Coogler when he was the offensive line coach for the Denver Broncos. He's yet another Florida Gator added to the roster. Marcus Gilbert, he played on the same line as DJ Humphreys. Max Garcia did back in college. He was a fourth-round pick in that same draft.
41 starts. If this is a depth guy with 41 starts, I mean, home run. Now, again, I mean,
coming off the injury,
the injury was I may not be ready for the start of camp, but either way, if he gets back, you know, he is a guy that's got 41 starts under his belt. He knows how to play. And Coogler, listen, Coogler he's one of the best coaching hires they made, their offensive line coach. And we said all along that they were looking at some of those offensive linemen from Denver, right? We did. We said that they were looking at some of the offensive linemen from Denver. And this is the one. This is the one they ended up getting. Coogler is familiar with him. He knows what the guy brings to the table. The guy's got 41 starts. He's a badass. He's just got to recover from an ACL injury, as a lot of the players that are signing in free agency are. They're injured. But just the depth, from a depth perspective, Burnsy, they've got depth now. Like, they've got good players that are backups.
Yeah, and that's, look, you've got Mason Cole and A.Q. Shipley battling it out for the center spot.
Right, so I think you got a good backup either way.
You got a good backup there either way. You've got Sweezy in at right guard. Now you've got Max Garcia to compete at left and right guard to back up Hugh and Sweezy if injuries happen. You've got Gilbert. You've got DJ. DJ, it's so funny. All these newcomers, all these new names on this list, on this offensive line, and my eyes just keep going back to DJ Humphreys. God, this is such a big year for him. This is such a big year for him. I mean, we can focus in the new guys all we want and talk about their role and whether this is going to succeed or going to fail. A lot of it's on DJ Humphreys as to whether it's going to succeed
left tackle,
or fail.
Yeah, because that's the one thing you have at tackle is the depth with Corey Cunningham. You have depth with him. But, you know, you need DJ, and DJ might be completely motivated by this being a contract year because he wants to get paid. He wants to get paid. So for him, he's probably highly motivated to go out there, get his body in shape, and show this organization and other organizations that he's a really good starting caliber at left tackle. So you might, just because it's a contract year, get his best season.
Changes are coming to Major League Baseball. One new rule in particular could change the way managers manage the game, plus a signing from the NFL and a subtraction for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll tell you who's not going to be back next on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll talk about baseball in just a second. You can move Marcus Golden's name into the former Cardinal category.
Marcus Golden.
Ian Rappaport reporting that he is signing a one-year deal with the New York Giants. No terms. Haven't seen any terms on that. But
James Betcher.
Yeah, reunited. It's funny. It's funny to see some of these. I mean, look at some of these former Cardinals, right? You've got Dalen Buchanan's in Tampa. You've got Marcus Golden is in New York. I mean, it's not across the board. Antoine Bethea also in New York. So, yeah, you've got former Cardinals finding a home with former Cardinal coaches, which I suppose shouldn't be all that much of a surprise. And frankly, Marcus Golden leaving should not be that much of a surprise. We talked about this when Terrell Suggs signed his kid. Terrell Suggs, by the way, was introduced today along with Brett Hundley at a Cardinals headquarters. When he signed, between that and Brooks Reed, I mean, it just sort of, hey, there's depth at the edge rusher position. But Marcus Golden just don't need him that much anymore. And while it would have been nice to have him back, he probably saw the writing on the wall and took a one-year deal with the New York Giants, and he is now a former member of the Cardinals.
Yeah, just continues to fly. This is free agency, right? I mean, now you're going to get to the point where like a lot of the big names are off the board now, and then you're going to see, you know, guys that are just going to take, you know, these one-year deals. A lot of the deals, you know, that we're looking at now, whether it's Tavon Austin or Breshad Perriman or Teddy Bridgewater or Marcus Golden. I mean, we're seeing, you know, Bradley Roby. A lot of these deals that we're seeing now are like one-year deals.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, that's Tate got the multi-year deal today.
There's not going
to be too many of those left. And I think what you're going to start to see happen here in another week or so, it's really going to settle down. And when it does,
the teams are out of money.
You're going to see players wait until it's just about training camp time. Because there are a lot of players who probably think, no, man, I'm worth more than that. No, man, I'm worth more than that money you're offering me. And you kind of have to wait them out a little bit. Cardinals have been great about that, right?
Yes.
You know, waiting for player X, Y, and Z, and they all want way too much money. All right, well, we'll meet with you, and then we'll revisit this in late July. And if you still don't have a place to play, then we'll talk. And you just kind of wait some of the players out. And they just want a job. When training camp rolls around, they just need to find a team to play for so you can get these guys kind of even more so on the cheap now than you can, or later than you can right now. Major League Baseball today, big announcement in terms of how they're changing the rules. The big rule changes are happening next year. Not this season, but next season. Next season, they're expanding the rosters from 25 to 26.
Okay. That's good.
Next season, they're eliminating the 40-man September rosters, and it's only going to be 28 guys in September. So those massive call-ups
in
September,
you're not going to have those, huh?
Those are gone.
So you'll be able to add two players.
Yep. That's it. So, which I love. I love that they've gotten rid of that.
Yeah, I don't think the players... I mean, it's good for teams that are out of it because you get a couple, you know, you get to call up a lot of guys and look at them. But for teams that are in it, it's such a distraction in the clubhouse.
Well, you got all those guys in there.
All these extra players.
Well, and in some ways, it's not, I mean, everybody can do it, but it does seem ridiculous that the most important time of the season is when you can call up as many catchers as you want, as many left-handed relievers as you want, right? I mean, it doesn't seem to make much sense. But the big one, starting next year, Rule 5.10G will be amended to require that starting pitchers and relief pitchers must pitch to either a minimum of three batters or to the end of a half inning.
Wow. All right, so you could still bring a guy in with two outs and the base is loaded and he can get one out and then he's done.
Yes.
All right, so you still have that.
You still have that.
But if he gives up a hit, he's got to stay in.
Yes.
So if I'm bringing in a left-handed specialist to face, I'll just give an example. I'm bringing a left-handed specialist to face Rizzo with the bases loaded, and Rizzo walks, and I got Chris Bryant coming up. I have to leave him in.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I can't take him out to bring in a righty to face Bryant because I just walked Rizzo with my lefty specialist.
Nope. You can't.
So now my lefty's got to face the righty, even though that may not be what I want.
So you've got to be even more careful in when you use your lefties. You have to look at lineups and go...
Well, you know what it is. It's the end of the left-handed specialist.
Sure.
It's the end.
But in a way, and I saw somebody on Twitter, I think it was David Schoenfeld over at ESPN, their baseball writer, who said if you look at the last four World Series champions, the last four, none of them have had a specific, strict, left-handed, one-out guy in their bullpen. Like the guy you bring in for just one out for the lefties. Now, I haven't done the research he has. Maybe he's wrong. I don't know. I trust his work. He's usually pretty good at what he does. But he claims the last four World Series champs, none of them have had a specific, one-out, left-handed specialist, the guy you bring in, just to get that guy and that's it. So that role has been kind of diminishing a little to begin with in certain regards, at least among the championship teams.
There was so many, for years, there was so many guys, and just think like the Randy Choates of the world.
Sure.
You know, that would come in and just get the lefty. Get the lefty.
One job,
then,
get that
then,
guy.
And then you're out of there.
Yep.
And then if he gave up a hit to a lefty, he was out of there anyway. Well, now you can't take him. Listen, to trying to speed up the game a little bit, I've never been one that got to a baseball game and be like, oh my God, it's 9:30, I got to go home. I know it's the only untimed game, and they're trying to attract more of a younger crowd. I don't know. I don't know that I mean, less pitching changes, okay. There's more strategy involved now for the managers, which is good. I don't know. Do you think that that makes a big difference?
What, the three batters?
I hate when there's four pitching changes in an inning. It drives me insane.
It drives me crazy,
especially
too.
When I'm there and it's the eighth inning. I'm like, oh, my God, I just lost a half an hour. Like, I could have been out of here, and you just made four pitching changes.
I thought you just said you weren't the kind of guy who was looking at the time when you wanted to get out.
I'm usually, when I'm sitting there as a fan, I'm not. When I'm coming to cover it.
Oh, I got you. So when you're working, you want to get out, when you're there as a fan. It drives me nuts, too. And the thing about these rule changes, they're not doing it for guys like you. They're not doing it for guys like me.
No, they're doing it for the 20-year-old kids.
We're hooked. Yeah, we're hooked on baseball no matter what you do.
Attention spans than these younger kids now.
I'm going to watch no matter what you do. I understand. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like the idea of you bring in a pitcher and, no, he's got to face three guys. Because I hate those innings. I hate those innings where it's bring in this guy, and we're going to bring in that guy, and we're going to bring in this guy, and we're going to bring in that guy.
And then the other team pinch hits, and then you got to change the guy. Yeah, I love it when the pitcher comes in and he never throws a pitch, and they go with another pitcher because they went with a pinch hitter, right? You're like, oh, God.
I love baseball. What I don't love is watching guys stand around not playing baseball and watching the constant bullpen guy in, another bullpen guy in. That's not baseball. It's strategy, but it's not on the field action of Major League Baseball. So I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. I don't care if it quickens the game. I don't care if it trims 3 minutes off the average Major League Baseball game. I don't care about that. I want it to feel quicker. You know what I mean?
Pace.
I want a better pace of a game. And I think constant shuffling in and out.
Starters have to throw the ball quicker. Batters have to stop stepping out of the batter's box and fixing themselves 100 times and stay in the batter's box and let's go. Let's play.
This year, the rules changes that will be effective. They're reducing the amount of time in between the inning breaks. They're trimming some seconds off of there. The waiver trade period is eliminated. There is one trade deadline, July 31st. That's it. After July 31st, you're not trading anybody. There is one deadline, and that starts this year.
Here's the trade deadline, and when the trade deadline passes, now you got to push these guys through waivers.
That's gone.
But I always hated that.
That's gone.
I always hated that. This guy, because everybody puts everybody through waivers, right? Just to see if anybody gets claimed.
Home run derby, $1 million go to the winner. Does that add any intrigue or better candidates into it, knowing that there's $1 million prize at the end of that road?
It should, right?
I would think it would.
Like, it's $1 million.
Yeah, I would think
it would.
It's
not chump change. Even for guys making $20 million a year, it's $1 million.
The Arizona Cardinals reportedly adding a new wide receiver. So is Steve Keim finished when it comes to bringing in the new pass catchers? Our top story of the day is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.